Kill. I'm back. I'm alive. I'm cool. How's it going?
For now.
Well, fuck you guys.
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel!
Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Rising from the Ashes, Silver Caster, Overkill!
Trauma Inducer, North Caster, Selsana!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
Ah! I killed him. I will take his place.
I cheered him right in the head and he went down like a sack of bricks. I don't know why I did that
what
voice.
What accent was that?
I don't know!
That's getting cut.
Yes.
I'm the podcast editor. Fuck you guys.
Welcome to episode 17 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Good job.
Way to start us off with a bang.
All right. Absent from today's cast are Green Caster Nego Paul and Pink Caster Lytrid. But joining us in their place are our old friend and current editor, Silver Caster Overkill.
No, I'm also green now. I usurped his power.
You're Green Caster Ichigo and Silver Caster.
Yeah, I usurped my power.
You like Gokai Silvered that shit.
Yeah.
And
I must have run away.
And Mr. North Caster Selsaga.
What's up, guys? I am black and silver, I guess.
Sure, works
He's
for me.
He's Blilver.
And of course, sure. Red and Black Casters are here with us as well.
Yeah.
But no one buys those toys.
Unless it gets a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive
made
of it.
Ayo!
Made of gold!
No, the Black Ranger has a...
Yeah, and the Dragon Shield is coated in 24 karat gold.
I'll buy that.
A la San Diego Comic-Con tradition.
Yeah.
As is tradition.
Thanks, fuckers.
Okay, I'll be on eBay for $900 tomorrow.
Yeah. Before we start the show proper, we just want to make a quick announcement. The weekend of July 18th to the 20th, we will be, well, most of us, will be at Con Bravo, a convention in Hamilton, Ontario. We're going to be there as media, so we're going to be filming a bunch of panels. I'm also going to be running a session of Cards Against Humanity Sunday at 12:30.
Which I will be making all the jokes at.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a
Wait,
video...
Wait, 12:30 what time?
12:30 p.m.
Okay, so around noon, okay.
Yeah. And we're not doing it at midnight on Sunday.
That's for, what I was thinking.
Not
I was
for
like,
3 hours!
It's like, wow. People need to go home?
No, we don't get to go home. We're stuck here until Monday.
Yeah.
Playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing an Overzeal video for that.
And as cool as all that sounds, and as much content as that's going to mean immediately thereafter, that does mean that we probably will not have an episode next week.
Probably not.
No, not
Which
Friday.
Doesn't matter!
As
no.
tends not to happen because con.
Luckily, we lined this up perfectly with the movie tie-in episode of Gaim that's apparently
So there's another non-canon episode coming up next week, so it really doesn't matter.
Why do they always follow up the really important episodes with... Either a not episode airing or some bullcrap like this.
So we have to wait 2 weeks to figure out whether he's still alive.
Money, money, money.
Money.
That's why.
Okay. Anyways, let's go ahead. We're going to be talking about Gaim episode 36 and Tokyuger episode 19.
He's dead, guys.
Shut up.
I agree.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
All right, starting off our discussion on Gaim episode 36, I think we should just go in normal Sentai order today. Since we're going to be doing a Sentai color-related topic discussion later.
Shut up, God.
Stay tuned. Okay, Raven, start us off.
So Takatora's dead.
Yeah! Oh, yeah, he's fucking totally dead.
He is not.
Okay.
It's not confirmed.
It's not confirmed.
Don't care, dead.
No.
Guys, honestly, he was in the middle of a fight with his brother. Like, all that dirty laundry got aired out. Hey, we're going to have a big showdown. And just as he's about to land the final blow, he has all these flashbacks of him and his brother, his younger kid.
Apparently back when he had a lisp.
All these little Oni-chan flashbacks. hesitated and then got his ass slashed and his helmet broken and his belt fell off and now he's drowned.
Not only that, he got hit with the squash. Like, he didn't just get hit with, like, a normal attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got hit with a full-on point-blank fucking squash. Done, gone, get out of here.
And it's and the whole thing is written by Urobuchi. So, you know what? I'm going to go on the thing here and say, no, he's legit dead.
Unless they're going to pull an O's where he comes up on the fucking side of on the ocean side somewhere.
Yeah, wake up on a beach somewhere.
Yeah. Here's my problem with that. I still truly believe that if we're going to kill off Takatora, we need to know that he's dead on screen.
That's why it's uncertain.
I was going to say, he's drowning.
And Coda's on his way.
Right?
Yeah, I was going to say. But who's still there?
Coda?
Michi.
Okay.
So Coda's going to be like, what have you done? Oh my god! And he's going to be like, I'm not going to let you save him. I'm going to fucking kill you.
Or there's also the thing of how would Coda know he's drowning?
That too.
They're going to pull some.
Half the belt. No. Half the belt is lying there on the ground. And he looks at
it. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Part of me, and I'm sure part of us all, wishes that Takatora is still alive.
Nope.
But here's why, probably not. Would they really make him fake die twice?
Yes.
In a show written by a guy known for killing characters we love?
Yes.
Joss Whedon?
Yeah, that too.
Him too.
So while the emotional side of me is praying that he's still alive, the logical side of me is saying he's probably dead.
You never know. I mean, these sort of things happen where
all
it's just like...
All I know is we have to wait minimum 2 weeks to find out.
There you go.
And then GG.
See, that's why they put it with the movie in that time.
Yeah.
So that you
fucking
have to wait
assholes.
For that shit. Although I gotta say, that fight was awesome. Just it was so well, not even just well shot, just like the suspense and tension going on with
it. You know, my favorite part of that fight was the one shot where Michi leapt up and Zangetsu like used his Musou Saber to stab him in the chest under the armor.
Yeah, that was really
good. I was like, holy shit, he's a real fighter!
Attention to detail like that is stuff I like. And also, I'm also such a huge fan in any tokusatsu where their helmet is partially destroyed and you like see their... For like 5 seconds right before he demorphs, you can see that where his...
They do that a lot in Sentai too.
I remember the first time I ever saw that was at the end of Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I just always thought that's a cool idea. It lets you see some of the humanity of it.
Yep. Now, here was my problem with that fight being on the other side of this fence. I feel like there wasn't enough fight.
I felt
it was absolutely far too acrobatic and doing a lot of things in which things were easily dodged because projectiles.
You mean when Zangetsu did spinning dance?
Yeah, shit like that. I was like, I understand that you're filling screen time to fill like dramatic tension, but more clashing would have been nice.
Well, what about
I thought it was like slash. All right, back up and jump a couple times around, and then shoost each other.
It was very,
and then realize that's not doing anything.
I like the fact that Zangetsu was actually effectively using his Melon Defender until it got swapped out of his hand,
which I still think is incredibly silly.
Yes,
but this...
why he wouldn't go back for it is beyond me.
But this was all the emotions episode. This was a my brother episode. I love that flashback where it feels like we just entered a Studio Ghibli movie.
But like, no, that fight was very Coda. Like, because they were kept going back and forth, and Coda had way more screen time with his fight with Roshiro.
Red Way. He hasn't fought Roshiro yet.
No.
That'll be a different thing.
Oh, God.
No, but however, that's another thing I wanted to mention. Just Red Way versus...
No, I just...
Okay. Yeah, Red Way versus Coda. And just all the shit that happened in that fight.
Yeah.
Just Coda, obviously, the increase in power now. Just, he got pissed and got stronger.
That was my thing at the very beginning of the fight when he's talking to her about it. And it's all kind of, yes, we know that Coda is, you know, got his blinders on. But it's very, you know, different than that red guy. No shit! What gave you any indication otherwise?
Like a few episodes back, she kind of like showed compassion and shit like that.
I don't think any sort of compassion has been shown ever.
For Michi, which she has since been shown to be,
yeah.
I'm fucking with him until I feel it's appropriate and more fun to kill him.
No, she was like, the way he's headed, he's going to break himself, and I will stand and watch and laugh. Which, so it's pretty much confirmed that Red Away's not planning to honor their agreement.
Yeah.
So now it's confirmed that Michi is a victim.
Or will be.
Oh, no.
How many episodes does Kamen Rider usually last?
50-ish.
Okay.
Generally, the last couple of times.
Except for decades.
Like, so we're not even, like, really, like, we're sort of entering endgame here.
Yeah, but they stated that this show's going to end early, too.
We've pretty much entered Act 3 at
this
point.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, this episode for me was really fun. Like, you know, I'm actually usually just the guy of the group where it's Kamen Riders. It's like, okay, you know, yeah, this was, like, I've unfortunately watched mostly filler, but this was very much a just, oh my god, this is, like,
this
real
is a
drama.
Real episode.
This is awesome.
Yep.
Like, just as an outsider, I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Any more points, Ruben?
No, that was about all I wanted to cover.
I did want to just say there was one line. Whenever I was feeling like, oh my god, this is getting too tense for me, I would just always remember the line from earlier in the episode. I forget who said it. It was one of the girls. But she said, I know Michi wasn't lying about loving to dance with us. That's just such a corny, cheesy
like,
line.
That's really
I
what
love
you're
it.
Focusing on?
That was so, like, no, every time that's all I could think. Like, this doesn't belong in this, like, something like that. That sounded like something out of, like, Digimon.
Yeah.
Something Kari would say.
Yeah.
I know that TK didn't betray us because he would dance with me.
Oh, dear God.
Riku wouldn't betray us.
He really should have betrayed us.
Vegeta would never betray us. Oh, he loves dancing.
Team 3 star.
Okay, so, yeah, there's a bunch of bullshit in this episode, besides the actual drama going on. So, Michi and Takatora finally confront each other, and he's like, yeah, why are you doing this shit? And his reasoning is, I'm doing all this because you left me, and I'm just thinking, Takatora left Michi. Michi's the one who stood by and watched Takatora get shoved off a cliff. You have no room to blame him for anything.
Well, I believe when he says, because you left me, it's more just, as much as Takatora says that he raised Michi, I think he kind of left him up to his own devices quite a bit when dealing with the whole Yggdrasil thing.
No, I know. That is valid. That I
so
agree with.
So that's more what Michi meant
but,
by that. And that was pre-him watching him die.
Yeah. Anyways, when they're in the Gaim garage and they're like, oh, I can't believe Michi betrayed us. The one comment out of Kota that I really snickered at was like, if Yggdrasil wanted to keep controlling us, all they had to do was keep dealing out more locks. Ha ha ha, Kota still doesn't know Cid's dead. Not something they can do anymore.
Sure they can. Find another Cid.
And,
there you go.
And here's where I start to lose a lot of faith in Michi again. The scene in the office when Red Away is talking about, you know, why she likes to play with toys and all this shit. And she talks about, like, her family being the first one she ever killed. She talks about how the reason she likes doing this is because she enjoys seeing the look of betrayal in the eyes of someone who used to trust her, and she's saying this to Michi, who she has a partnership with, and I'm just thinking, why are red flags not going off in your head? Because
he's
stupid
motherfucker! He's fucking retarded.
Then again, I'm sure the answer to that would be, they can kill everyone, what choice do I have? Which really should have been all he had to say to Takatora. Like, we just watched them stop missiles. What do you want
and
me to do?
And then redirect them back to North America.
Yeah.
And wipe out the
No,
Marmaris.
They killed me.
Like, I'm sure you saw that shit where he stopped missiles in
where,
the sky
yeah,
and then beamed them to America.
Where, like, the better part of the world launched missiles at us to nuke this city out of existence.
Like,
and then he stopped them in midair and redirected them to North America and blew up the continent.
So yeah, we're dead, by the way.
It blew up Canada
yep.
City.
But it's like Michi should have just said to Takatora, yeah, did you saw that shit, didn't you? What was I supposed to do? Go up to Roshan and tell him to get the fuck off my planet?
He saw it nice and close.
I was going to say front row seats.
Front row seat.
No, I know.
Roshan.
No, I know, Jesus. But Michi doesn't know that Takatora saw it. Well, whatever. But Michi should have just said to Takatora, what would you have me do? Walk up to Roshan and tell him to get the fuck off my planet? So you can kind of sort of understand why Michi does what he does, but at the same time, what he says is total bullshit.
I was gonna say, both of them are making it a lot more personal than that.
Yeah. And I like the fact that every time Coda tries to sit down and have a meal, despite the fact that he's not eating it, someone tries to just comes in and takes him for a dramatic walk.
And all the while commenting about how he needs to eat to maintain his strength.
Yeah, and then he just gives him a loxine.
And then Takatora just pulls
Takatora just says, fuck it.
Yeah.
I noticed
you... Fuck eating here. This will be easier on you right now.
Yeah.
But, see...
It's like Takatora knew that he was losing his sense of humanity.
No, not even.
Was very... I understand you're very stressed right now. That affects people. This works.
Stress fucks with your appetite. You need to eat anyway. Here's a loxie. Yeah. This is why this is useful.
I'm betting you at the same time that is accelerating his transformation into an overlord. I was really thinking about that while I was watching the episode, about the fact that Roshuo used the power of the golden fruit to transform his subjects into the creatures they are now. Coda is now using that same power, which means he's definitely transforming into a monster.
I'd like to see another Eiji Greed.
Yeah.
Just watching the character become the monster.
Exactly.
Which is fine, which is as long far, as the ends justifies the means.
Which is by far not the first time that it happened.
And that's why it wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
The end justifies the means.
Okay.
That's an orphan knock.
Yeah.
I mean, how many shows does that happen in? Kuga, technically.
Fies. O's.
Yeah. Kabuto had that plot point at the end of the series.
Wasn't that Forze? What's his face? Not the main character, but the guy that piloted the Powerdizer?
Oh, Shun?
Yeah. Wasn't he a Zodiart? Or
no.
I missed that plot point.
He had never...
Why was he sick, then?
Why are we talking about fire?
Oh, you mean Kengo.
That's what I meant.
Oh, he was a different thing. He wasn't a...
He wasn't a Zodiart.
It was stupid.
Okay.
It was fucking stupid.
It was Forze, got it.
If I said why, it would spoil the ending, but...
And nobody...
I'm sure there's someone up there who cares.
First and foremost, he doesn't care. Nobody cares. It's Forze. It was dumb. And I don't remember what the plot point was.
I remember what
it
was.
So fucking stupid, I don't care to remember.
I remember what it was, but it was stupid.
It was so retarded.
Okay.
Moving on!
Okay, I'm just gonna say it. Anyone who has not watched Forze and wants to spoil, skip ahead 5 seconds.
Oh.
Blade.
Kengo was the core switch.
Oh!
It happened in Blade, too.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Oh, yeah, Blade. Right at the end.
And Decade.
Okay, anyways, moving on.
Not so much.
I know.
The one thing I liked about the fight was that Michi used Sand Attack and lowered his accuracy.
Oh, fuck you.
Well, I was wondering how he even said it, and I was like, well, they have to breathe. They probably went through the breathing ducts.
Yeah, at first I was like, how is that effective? He's wearing a helmet. But then I'm like, did he nail his accuracy and get the sand in the holes he was breathing through or some shit?
He got through those little dots in the eye holes that actually let the suit accuracy.
Yeah, probably.
Of course he did.
And yeah, that's me on the episode. Don't die, Takatora! But I understand if you are.
I'm
about 90% sure he's dead. The other 10% is he's dead.
Okay.
The other 10% tells me that Toei wouldn't let Urobuchi kill him off. I honestly think it may just be a point of Urobuchi wanted to kill him off the first time around, but Toei wouldn't let
him. That's just it. I think... What Toei wanted versus what Urobuchi wanted, he just went, well, then I'm going to get as much out of this as I can.
He's like, I'm going to kill
this guy like 5 times.
I killed, exactly. Like, I killed Takatora. We can't let you kill him. I'm going to kill him again. We can't let you kill him. I'm going to nuke all of North America then.
Okay.
Fair compromise.
Fair.
I'm going to blow up New Orleans. Wrong show. Damn it.
That's your next show.
Can we kill Takatora for real? But I don't want you to. Okay, how about this? We kill him off in the show, and then you put him in the game at the same week. Deal!
Yeah literally.
They released Zangetsu Shin DLC for Battle Red War 2 the same week.
But it's Zangetsu Shin. It might not be.
But no, it's Takatora. It's his voice.
No.
It's Takatora.
Because he talks.
So? We played it.
What's your point? Michi was using Takatora's voice the first couple of
only
times.
For battle growls. He didn't actually disguise his dialogue.
I didn't have too much to add on to what we've already discussed, but the first thing I noticed was we finally see what happened to what Kaido's been hiding for the better part of the last little while. It's just, holy shit! Like, that looks painful.
That thing that just happened because Redway just slashed him across.
You know what it is? You remember from the early season when people started getting attacked by Invis and the fruit was growing on them?
Oh, yeah.
It's that same kind of thing, but except he's got a belt, so he's not immediately seeing the effects.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I hadn't thought about it that way, to be perfectly honest.
I thought it was just one of those... I saw the green and heard the rustling of leaves, and I was like, ooh, he's got one of those.
Which means, is Kaido maybe on his way to a bad ending?
He might be.
He's just like, cut to walking dead, we're all infected!
The worst part about that was for the rest of the episode after that you saw that cut on his arm, he was walking around with a slightly altered fucking, like, his personality took a little bit of a swap.
He took off his coat.
No. His personality swapped a bit to something that makes it look like he's very much just trying
making amends with people.
Yeah, he's making amends and he's wrapping up loose ends. Like, he knows he's dying.
Yeah, that seems to be.
And then he gets the golden fruit and he lives forever.
No, you know what's gonna happen? Kaido will get the golden fruit and use it to save him.
Yeah.
Again, I still like the...
Or he'll go out dramatic as fuck for the finale.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Again, like I say, I like the idea and the theory of just Kaido not getting the fruit.
Oh, I'm totally on board with that as well.
I like the whole, he doesn't want it, he doesn't need it, so he will help the person who he feels does need it.
I hope they make like a movie where like some of the different writers get the fruit, so it's like kind of like alternate endings. Yeah, like Michi gets it.
I also do like the idea of an alternate reality in which Kaido does get it, however, selflessly uses its power for somebody else. Like you said, he gets it, but uses it for Kaido or something.
Yeah,
or
I just pictured it like Gaim ends like a Mortal Kombat game where every character has their own ending where they get
He wishes
hurt.
Everyone back that got killed by Boo.
Yeah. and just hear me out on this. Because Redway seems very intrigued, a little too intrigued by Kaido's abilities.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm starting to think maybe it's not just that he's turning into an overlord and that's what Redway's laughing about. So now I'm actually thinking, does Roshō actually have the golden fruit for their world?
Yeah, we've seen him hold it.
No, that's his own world.
Or is that his own power manifesting itself?
No.
Yeah, but hear me out on this one. Redway seemed a little too intrigued by it. Like, if it was just, he's becoming one of us, I don't think he would have had that same sort of response to it. What if Kota is the golden fruit?
Oh, come on.
So we're doing a Full Metal Alchemist shit?
Let me finish. Because they flat out state, DJ Sagara stated beforehand that the fruit does not really show itself until the Force has taken over their world.
And what does that have to do with Kaido?
Maybe it manifests in somebody from that world.
I don't know.
He seems to be the focal point of a lot of like the power of the forest. And honestly, yeah, just what
if? It was inside us all along.
I swear to God, if that's what they pull, I'm going to flip someone's table. No, I don't think it's going that way, but I don't know.
It's the plastic furniture.
Everyone has their theories. I won't chide you for it, but I don't agree with it.
Speaking of Redway versus Kaido, I feel like we talked about this on numerous occasions, just the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Kaido start in Kachidoki.
Yes.
Was just very Overlord. Yeah, exactly. Was just very orange won't work on this.
Yeah.
I feel like that just really enforces the idea that they're very aware of who their opponent is and using the appropriate amount of power. And I just thought that was really interesting. How long did it take before he Kiwami'd?
Like, a speech.
He was actually doing pretty well in just Kachidoki.
Right?
Yeah, well that's because he was pissed.
Yeah.
And then when Super's just not enough, Ultraman.
Nice.
But yeah, that's really all I needed to add to this conversation.
Hey, so I have just one problem with this.
Oh, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Coda should have given him the event. The
except the slot. He can't.
Why?
Except he didn't know he was running off to do that. Kota wasn't told that he was going off to fight Michi. Hell, he didn't even know he was getting his Sengoku driver back. How could he have given him it when he wasn't aware?
Okay. How? How?
Then how did he know he was in trouble?
Hold on, before we go any further, just, you want to explain what it is you were suggesting? Because
yeah,
Ray Yoko. Already knows.
Yoko told him.
No, it's... He mentioned this earlier this week during the episode. Why he was pissed off because Kota didn't hand Takatora the fucking Genesis Core.
Yes, that discussion that they had together was before Yoko told Kota where they were.
It's he didn't know that's where Takatora was going. He didn't know Takatora was going to face Michi. Hell, he didn't even know Takatora had a Sengoku driver back. He talked with Yoko. Yoko suspected that was probably what was going on when Takatora vanished on everybody.
By the way,
then he went running.
By the way, I love how Yoko was like, sorry, I tried to kill you. Are we cool?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, that conversation was.
Yeah.
Alright, well, that's cool.
Like, if that's your major beef, there's no way they could have. He wouldn't have known. It wouldn't have made sense.
Although seeing Zangetsu do a Jinba form would have been cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure...
Melon Jinba Melon.
For the YouTube version, pull up the Flash app thing of Zangetsu Jinba Lemon.
So good.
If I ever get to it. Also, the did Great
not,
Hammer.
Did they not have, like, Jinba Melon on there yet?
No, but the point we're making is he could have done Jinba Lemon because Michi has the Melon Lockseed. Melon Energy Lockseed.
Fair point.
I see what you're saying, but that wouldn't have been
possible.
So,
that Grape Hammer attack, guys.
Oh, yeah, where he shot a bunch of Budo Ryuho spheres and then shot them at right away with the Dunkachi.
The whole montage of past abilities right there. I loved it.
Yeah, that's basically what
I'm not going to talk about I've talked enough about it, but I'm just going to say the fucking promo at the end, kind of pissed. Because I just want to see what happens, and this is some serious fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
That they're pulling right now. They could have made it a fucking, like, you know, like, I don't know, a Hyper Battle video or something. They could have made it something other than just in the show.
Well, we don't know what the context is of this next episode, whether it is actually a promo,
it
or...
It looks like it's a tie-in.
Or some sort of side canon. We don't know yet. We'll talk about that next week.
I wanted to bring up something real quick about Kiwami as well, now that I think about it. We got to see him use, what is it, Shin Matsu?
He used the Shin Kagematsu again.
I was like, so it is canon. That's interesting enough.
Yeah.
Because we know that is definitively different than Kurikage's traditional spear.
Because it's got both ends.
Yeah, I was going to say. So it's just nice to see, oh no, that's a thing.
We weren't fooled last time. He's definitely using it.
And here's my other gripe with Kiwami as it stands. I feel like it may just be he needs to push far enough for this to be as effective as it is. It seems like no matter what it is, Kota manages to show off this episode, it always ends with DJ Gun.
Yeah, it always ramps up to that.
And like I said, it might just be, it's not that the DJ Gun isn't the ultimate answer to whatever enemies he's facing, but that he needs to, you know, do enough damage for that to prove effective.
Yeah.
But I just think it's weird.
I think very much think the DJ Gun is just stronger than the other weapons.
But that's just it. So why beat around the bush?
Because Tokusatsu tropes.
Because strategic advantage with the switching up of weapons followed by...
It throws everyone off.
I've beaten the fuck out of him. Now I'm just going to use my best weapon to wipe him out now.
Think about it in terms of Pokemon. You throw a bunch of weak attacks at a wild Pokemon, and then when he's down, you Pokeball him. The Pokeball is the DJ Gun.
Wow.
I know, right?
Do you want to kill him?
Clean up on aisle your wall.
Oh, I love all of you. I love you.
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
Alright, moving on to Tokyuger. Raven, lead this train.
I see what you did there.
What's that? Leave this train? Okay.
You guys really don't like Tokyuger.
Like, I'm getting off this train.
Okay.
Fuck it.
Okay. Tokyuger? No. Tokyurokugo? Yes.
I was going to say, no. I am incredibly fond of Resha Sentai Zeronos.
Yeah.
What a wonderful show this has become.
Can we just batch the show starting at episode 17?
Yeah. That's just it. It's like, you always sit through that process where your wound is still achy and sore, but eventually you get to the Band-Aid, and you just rip that bitch off.
And in this case, the wound is shaped like episode 7.
Oh, there it
is.
Kendama!
Yes. You fuckers.
So, yes. The fence shadow? Is that what we had in this episode?
That thing was awesome!
He made fences. That was his power.
No, it looked awesome.
Okay, yes.
It was not awesome.
It looked awesome. It looked awesome. Its power was generating fences.
Evil playpens.
Evil fucking fences.
The power to cock block a train.
The power of chest high walls.
And yes, he did look awesome. He looked like a Kingdom Hearts villain.
Yeah. But there's just that one moment, like, right when they were first fighting him, up against Tokati, and he just makes that little pen. And I'm staring at it, like, Kati's looking at it. It's like...
Someone put baby in a box.
Yeah. Exactly. But it was serious. It was just a moment of... Seriously, these fences only go up to my waist. What fuck? I could probably jump on
them. Aren't superheroes known for, like, jumping really high at points?
I've jumped worse than this. What the fuck?
It's funny, because, like, I don't know. Was this the first Shadow to get this close to killing so many of them?
Yeah.
Well, in one fell swoop, kinda.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there was the time Tokati died.
And came back!
Yeah.
Then revived!
But at this time, like, you know, they buried him, like, all except Tokati and Akira. They all were buried and were...
They weren't even actually buried. They were just under some dirt.
The train wasn't even fully buried yet. Man, they suffocated fast.
Buried enough.
Fucking ticket, man. Takes up all the oxygen, being a puppet.
And yapping off like that. It's like, fuck, stop talking. You're wasting oxygen. Fuck you, ticket.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know how you're using oxygen, but you're doing it.
So I guess the one...
Imagination.
So the thing with that is, I guess, like, when the fight started...
They're imagining suffocating?
Yeah, no, when that fight started and Tokati transforms and Akira's just, like, trying to pull his morpher out of his fucking helmet... Because he fucking buried it in there and, like, tied it up under town to shut it up so he didn't have to listen to it. I was gonna talk about that.
It's like they're trying to contact him because they're like, yeah, we should talk about, you know, teaming up and shit. And they try to call him, and you cut to Akira, and he's looking at his phone as it's going off, and he has no fucking clue what's happening. So he takes his hat and starts, like, trying to shove the phone
his head towel around the phone to, like, dampen the sound, sticks it in his hard hat, buries it under more towels.
And I'm just like, how do I call a phone?
It's called the mute function. fucking phone.
I just want to...
It's a Tokuger morpher. I don't think that's an option. Those things are built to be loud and obnoxious.
Actually, we actually have the Apple changer here. The weird thing is, the speaker's in the back, but while the phone is closed, the sound is lowered.
Yeah!
We were talking about that earlier.
We did that too, where it was just kind of like, wait, isn't that the speaker?
Yeah.
Then how do I phone?
I know. But yeah, I wanted to see so badly.
You're right. It doesn't have a mute button. It does, however, have a YouTube app.
Yeah.
And a TokuNet app.
And apparently. A battery app.
I think that's just a widget.
And an app for checking the weather. Which is topical for...
Get it! He reigns.
He needs to know when it bows or not.
Yes. He needs to know.
It's the rainbow
So this just accumulates in this little moment. When the fight starts, because his morpher is, like, tied up and buried at the bottom of his fucking hard hat. So the fight starts, and he's just trying to pull it out of his friggin' hat, which results in, like, fucking hard hat foo with the fucking crow.
He's literally smacking up bitches with his hat while also trying to unravel his phone from the tangled mess of ignorance.
Yeah.
But no, the one thing I wanted to see so bad at the end of that episode...
I think that's the tagline for the show!
There you go.
A Tangled Mess of Ignorance.
That's the name of the episode.
It's the name of the series.
But what I wanted to see was, like, at the end of the episode when everyone's okay, and they're like, how come you didn't answer when we tried to call you? Oh, you called me? Yeah, see, we did this. And then the phone starts going off again, and he again buries it in his hat.
No.
Kill it! Kill it!
down!
Yeah. But I guess the only other thing I noticed was just light with that fucking rail sword.
Where he pulled some Iaido bullshit.
No, exactly. As Dave was complaining about this, like, why are you holding it by the blade? And I'm just sitting there like, no, that's how you hold a fucking wooden sword when you're doing, like, Iaido or Kendo.
Yeah.
That's legit how you hold it like that.
Like
and
a
then
sheath.
And then you just fucking act like you're drawing it, and that is, like, legit.
I'm like, that's proper sword technique.
It's like, light, what the fuck, man? How do you know that?
Yeah, really.
You're a shitty
amnesiac.
They're gonna do some weird flashback, and after a while, you find out where Light did Kendo or something.
Yeah. Well,
of course he did.
It might happen. Aside from that, I got nothing because this episode is pretty shit.
The one thing I noticed that was pretty awesome was the fucking Kariner actually equips the Drill Resha because it is shadow technology and then starts wrecking shit.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, and, I don't think we've seen that before.
And then starts shooting beams from the drill.
It's not that we didn't see it or didn't need to see it. It was established when it was introduced that Zaram stole the Drill Resha from the Shadow
Line. It's not that he stole it. It's that while he was a shadow, he used it.
Right.
But yeah, seeing the Kariner just wreck shit with it was actually pretty cool. And the other thing is, at the end, we finally see, like, you know, Bill Dio. And the one thing that bugged me, and I'm someone very into, like, you know, belt mechanics and how proper Toker procedure goes, Bill Dio is very much a standalone Zord / Battle Zord. And then they went and said...
Resha Gatai!
Which means combination! It is not a combination! It is a single Zord achieving what Turbo called high stance mode. It should be Resha Henkei. Maybe they'll fix it, I don't know, but it pissed me off. And that's pretty much me.
As you do.
Come on.
I don't know.
That's it.
You lost your train of thought?
You lost his train.
Badoom tush.
Oh, here we go. Here it is.
I found it.
You got the build, Resha.
Oh, well, now I'm interesting again.
Now you can build pieces.
It's, I don't know, what was it in the Bill Dio fight that was going on, and we see this shadow try and wall again. Doesn't he just, like, push it back down, like, no, yeah. This is stupid. Snap! Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's weird that, like, the power seems to be thwarted exclusively by Rokugo.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking,
it's just,
you know,
proving that he's the smart one in this bunch of idiots.
I just think, you want to know what it is, and I think, what's his name now? Akira. Is going to be the biggest asset to the team at this point. He's familiar with who he's up against.
Yeah.
He knows these people, personally.
Mm-hmm.
He was their co-workers.
He was their drinking buddy.
Right?
It's like Dilbert going back to his office and killing everyone.
I can just only imagine, Akira will, if they're smart about it, almost act as some sort of battle companion / Pokedex.
There it is.
Just sort of... Here's what... No, not even that. Just, here's so-and-so. He does this.
Yep. So he's like the guy of the shadow line.
I guess so.
Except instead of being a fanboy, he just hates them.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. And I mean, I know I kind of touched on this last week when we were talking about the idea that it was coming up. I thought it was weird that they bothered to develop Akira alongside Takati.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
You know what I think it's leading up to? Each of them is going to get an episode where it's Ranger plus Hikari.
It must be, because it was... Initially, it was Hikari warming up to him, I don't like him. You're stupid. Go away. You was not Tokuja. And then he was all like, Light likes you, so I is going to like you eventually.
What the fuck?
He's Brumwell-hiding this.
They're gonna Zuko him from Avatar. Everyone gets their own little mini adventure.
Oh god, that is accurate as fuck.
It was just a matter of, well, yeah, that episode was very centered around Tokati in, like, the theme of what was being discussed.
Point I want to bring up later, but
it was very Akira just joined him on that journey, and I was like, okay. that's a little weird that just that was the central focus, but maybe you're right. That kind of makes a lot of sense.
Oh, one other thing that I wanted to talk about, I didn't because initially Dave was going to, and he's kind of petered out for the night. The scene in the battle later on in the episode, and they all start transferring lines because they can, and Rogu is just standing there. I don't know what to do with my hands while you guys play around.
Rokugu doesn't have to transfer.
No, I know, yeah, and you were supposed
and
to talk about
thank
that.
Thank God. No, I'm just, I'm very much on that, note of, I think the transfer thing is stupid.
Yeah, oh, it is, absolutely.
I was gonna say.
I mean, they pulled some little tiny uses for it at various points.
The bomb shadow episode?
Yeah, there have been uses, and there have been smart uses.
I was gonna say.
But all in all, it's a pretty dumb fucking thing.
I'm not directly opposed to the line change function. I'm glad he's unsullied by it.
And then you go, oh yeah, he doesn't need to do that. And thank God.
He doesn't need to, they even say.
Although it bugs me that they never bothered to explain why that is.
I have
so.
A, like, while I don't know what the actual reason in the canon of the show is, I have a theory why he's not doing it.
Because he's a shadow?
No, I mean behind the scenes.
Oh.
I think it's because, like, this is the first Orange Ranger ever, right?
Technically, yeah.
I think they want to give him that breathing room of,
so
like,
they want him to remain a unique identity.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. That said, the toy versions you can do transfers with.
But I think that's just because they have to make it like...
Like, not on the Apple Changer, in the Tokyo Brace. You can do Rokugo transfers.
My other thing, I don't know if we quite touched on it yet, but it's like you were saying earlier, as far as Build Dio goes, just the whole... It wasn't working initially. I feel like that's not a dumb plot point. I just think they've already done it to death.
Oh, yeah.
That's the second time, right?
That was just to be the highlight of the episode,
It happened with Diesel.
It wasn't that Diesel wasn't
controlled. No, but it was something needed to happen before it was up and running.
Yeah,
right?
They went with more, it was a physical thing, because he's pulling wires apart.
Well, it started as...
It's not listening to me, so I'm going to go fuck with the wiring and shit.
Think about that, that's pretty brutal. This train doesn't listen to me, so I'm going to fuck up its wiring so it does what I want.
It has a voice later, hello friends, I like soup.
Why did you stick livers in
you,
me?
Like, you got, like, light coming. You cut out his brain!
You'll never have no strawberry milk.
Damn it, Randy, you spilled my juice. Okay, we're entering really
on
peace.
Wow, where is this coming from?
Is that going to be a thing with this? Build Dial is going to be the special needs train now? That's why he has a helmet!
Oh! Ah! His helmet is a crane.
Yeah.
Why do you do this to my cannon?
I like trains.
I like the train.
I like trains.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. I'm going to ride the choo-choo.
We're all amazingly terrible people. Oh.
Well, I've known for years I'm going to hell at 48 kilometers an hour, so...
Just, I'll bring the cookies.
At least you went the speed limit.
Yeah. I'll go... you know what really I liked about this episode, though? Like, just because of how stupid it was? Takati. Just his entire, like his whole attitude towards Akira was just so, oh, senpai. I don't know, like, it was kawaii as fuck, man.
I love how frazzled he was watching Akira try and rewire.
Yeah, that was, like, he was...
You really shouldn't do that, please. Oh, no, oh, God.
But the best thing ever...
No, I'm helping you.
...was his flashback, and this... was so, like, just an Oscar moment when he's like, my friends would help me, and they asked me what I had for lunch that day or something. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it's just, like, you get the soft focus and the music with the violin, and there's me in the background just playing it, like, oh my God.
And the children playing with the ball.
Which, by the way, that was, like, the worst game of catch I've ever seen.
Like, they were all running in the same direction, facing each other, in a circle, tossing the ball back towards each other.
But it was nice to see Tokari doing a thing.
Yeah. He did a thing.
He did a thing once, for once, and...
And it didn't involve him dying.
Dio, like, do jumping jacks when he's getting up. He goes outward and up.
Especially just when, like, during that first shot where he's, like, he, like, jumps up and starts doing, like... tiny little jumping jacks. I'm like, ugh! This is the most awkwardly shaped pre-Megazord form ever. It's literally doing the splits.
My other favorite thing about this episode, my last thing, is, like, I'm just so fascinated how Zed's fascination with shiny things, it's starting to border on erotic.
He literally reached out for shiny balls.
For shiny balls. I want to give this guy a copy of X and Y Pokemon and say, go nuts. Go find. And then use the fishing technique.
And he got to the second line of Twinkle Twinkle this week.
Oh my god. You remember way back in the day I said, wouldn't it be amazing if this guy's, like, monster form turned out to be, like, Lord Zedd from Power Rangers? I don't want that anymore.
I know, right?
I'm just like, don't sully Zedd for me. Just like, I'm just picturing Lord Zedd, like, twinkle, twinkle, little star. But that's all for me.
Okay, so now we're done with that train wreck.
I see you did that.
Yeah, you did. Let's play how many train puns can I make before I run out?
And die.
The answer is a shit ton. Because all right. They're all itchy puns.
Yep.
Featured topic.
Alright, so, for our featured topic discussion type thingy this week, we decided we would do a little wiki research and talk about a few rangers of our respective colors and talk about what else their actors have done.
What they've done, like, in the past, what they're doing now, just anything that, like, tickled our fancy of, like, oh, this is interesting.
And so today, four of us had Jason David Frank because, yeah.
Yeah, that reason.
Because, yeah, he's been four different
Red
colors.
Ranger, Black Ranger, Sixth Ranger, and
Rainbow Donald, Ranger!
We're just calling him White.
Yeah, White Ranger.
I don't know what the fuck I am anymore. Like,
well, you're Northcaster. Northcaster, kind of assume,
snow, white.
We assume snow and therefore white.
I always said more of a gray knight sort of deal, but
sure. except for the fact that David is the Silver Ranger.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
See, yeah, think Stark, so like black and gray sort of whites.
Whatever.
But enough about me.
You digress like a champ.
I do, but enough about my penis. It's gray and black and with spots.
Yeah, lovely. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It's the Seussical Moosical.
Mr. Redcaster, start us off.
All right. So, to start off, I just went researching my my favorite Power Rangers series, Time Force.
Yay, we all love Time Force.
It is time for Time Force.
Which just happens to have two Red Rangers. Yay. Therefore, I will do both.
You double-dipping motherfucker.
Yes.
I hate you. Stole my quantum.
Yes, yes. Anyways, not a hell of a lot on his list. There's a couple of movies. Apparently a 2013 movie he's in called A Ponytail.
Is that like a brony thing?
I have no idea and
I don't want to know.
I don't care enough to look it up. That's my answer to that.
Well, I'm looking up Power Rangers My Little Pony. It's also, so you can go.
Yeah.
My Little Rangers.
God. He was also in a movie called Witch House, Totem, and another one called Jekyll, which I'm assuming is a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie.
Wait, this is the guy who played Wes?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
This is Wes.
Cool.
Also, television, well, aside from being in Megaforce for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Deadliest Warrior.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
He was for the Alexander the Great versus Genghis Khan episode.
Uh-huh.
He was Alexander the Great.
Oh shit.
Yeah, there's pictures of that floating around.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that on TV actually myself.
It's funny because Time Force.
Yeah, yeah. I know, right? I saw that episode myself and I was like just sitting there watching the fight go down and I'm just looking at Alexander the Great. I was like, wait a minute. Where do I know you from?
Wow.
And I was like, oh shit.
We're really moving on up in the world, aren't we, Wes?
Yeah. Red Ranger?
On that note, a 2006 TV series called Alexander, which I'm hoping is a similar thing.
Hey, maybe.
Also a TV series called Eve, which I've never heard of. A Wild Force for, of course, the crossover episodes with Time Force
Forever
and
Red.
Forever Red.
Yep.
Yeah.
S-Club 7 in Hollywood.
Oh!
What?
He was the stylist.
Ooh.
Yeah, apparently. And I go, what? Seriously? Fuck.
Oh, God.
Also, Port Charles, which I've never heard of. And Passions.
And
the soap opera.
Okay.
I don't have any.
I can't be with you, for I am a ranger.
For I am the Red Ranger, and have to go back in time.
I'm the reddest of rangers.
Also, apparently, video game-wise...
Oh, yeah.
He was the motion capture actor for Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil 6.
Yeah,
I heard about that.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
He's got a diverse career, to say the least.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of stuff. That's Always interesting. And pulling up the second from that show. Yes, the Quantum Ranger or Time Fire.
Yeah.
Personally, I really like that Ranger design. So
hey. Yeah, that was Eric. And what was the actor's name?
The actor's name, who doesn't actually have a wiki page, so I had to look him up on IMDb.
Sure, that's
Dan,
good enough.
Dan Southworth.
Okay.
And, so, pre-Time Force, looking for Bruce.
I was looking for Bruce the other night.
I was looking for Bruce to leave my house.
Rendezvous. Some TV series called Martial Law for one episode because he was some random thug.
Sounds appropriate.
Rocky Road.
Was it a movie about the ice cream?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Just
mention whatever's worth noting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
should people have heard of.
There ain't much on this list that is much worth mentioning. U.S. Seals 2.
Oh, the long-awaited sequel.
So yeah. I heard this guy was Time Fire.
Oh my god, he was Time Fire, you guys. Trailer, the movie.
Okay.
That's how it'd be easy.
I hope he was in the trailer.
I don't know. Apparently there was a movie for Time Force.
What?
Oh yeah, there was a pre-production, like, before, like, everything went shit-wise, there was gonna be a Time Force movie.
Oh, well, it makes sense, because the Sentai series do have movies.
Yeah.
Power Rangers Time Force, Quantum Ranger Clash for Control.
Okay.
Apparently.
So I guess he fucks them over and takes control.
Wild Force, of course, shit up there. Apparently there's supposed to be, yeah, wow, there's multiple movies for Time Force.
Okay.
That were supposed to happen.
We're learning new things every day.
I didn't know any of these.
They had to keep rewinding time and starting over.
Oh my god.
Crouching Waiter, Hidden Chef.
Okay, what this needs fuck? To be watched.
I feel like we need to do a riff track of that, and I don't even know what it's about.
I wonder if he cooks with Time Fire.
Fuck you.
Some movie called Lethal.
Okay.
Apparently... Oh my.
I feel what? Like we got to the meat and potatoes.
That's something I... What? So apparently he's the voice of Virgil in Devil May Cry 3.
No!
Oh, shit!
Really?
I'm just... Wait, what?
Wow.
Just scroll up list. Holy shit,
what? We should start with that!
I'm sorry. Now that, in my mind, is the big one. Also, Beautiful Joe Battle Carnival.
Oh, shit.
As Virgil.
Well, yeah.
There it is.
Apparently he cameoed.
Fucking Capcom.
I know, right? Some 2005 movie called Demon Hunter.
Appropriate, given that last one.
I know, right? House of the Dead 2.
Oh.
Oh, really cool.
He was in the TV series Charmed for one episode.
Okay.
As, I swear to God, if that's not somebody's name, that just means he played a rat.
Well,
it could be a name.
Wasn't Charmed about witches?
There's a character named Rat and Gime.
Yeah, there was a guy. It might just be one of the familiars. I don't know.
Who knows?
Just moving on past that. General Hospital Night Shift.
Okay. Sounds like a mixed hospital drama and military show.
Devil May Cry 4 is Credo.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's around that series.
That's cool.
He's honestly, as far as I'm looking at his stuff, I think he's done more notable voices and video games.
Looks like he's more a prolific voice actor.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have stuck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anything of note is fine.
Yeah.
Richard the Third.
Okay.
Did he play Richard?
Yeah. No. Shit, I haven't heard. Oh, hey, he was in Deadliest Warrior 2.
That's who?
Oh, yeah? If you say Genghis Khan, I'm gonna flip.
No, well, there's a picture of him in samurai armor, so...
Oh, my God.
Probably something along those lines.
Maybe.
That's what...
I swear to God, if they got Time Red and Time Fire fighting Deadliest Warrior...
Yeah, though he's credited as enemy soldier, so...
Oh, so it's probably just like one of the...
Like minion in the background, but I don't remember any,
I think it was one of the season where they pitted groups of people against each other.
He was like one of the samurai.
Warrior of X
type.
Yeah.
Virgil and Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because, hey... the TV series Divergence.
Huh.
As a character called Mark Leonard for 11 episodes.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit!
As Kenshi.
Now I gotta go watch that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dark Souls.
Oh.
It's a motion capture actor. Oh, okay. So
these guys seem to do that a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Rangers.
Well, they do karate, so.
Yeah, they're...
Yeah. And that's about all I got for him. All
right.
And, of course, my last pick, because had to, Austin St. John.
Yeah.
Yep.
The original Red Ranger. I can't not pick him when I do this.
What does he do now? Tell the people what he does now.
Not what everybody thinks he does, apparently.
Okay, so for those who still don't know, the guy who is a gay porn star is a lookalike.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going around that he had, like, gone into gay porn after Power Rangers, which is apparently not the case because that was the lookalike and not him.
The actual Austin St. John is a paramedic.
He's actually saving lives now.
Yeah. He actually learned something from being on Power Rangers.
Yeah, he's an actual paramedic, which explains why this list of roles is not very long.
Yeah. I would just always, like, say that would be the most amazing thing ever if you're in a fire and they're like, don't worry, we're getting you out of here, and you're being resuscitated, and you just wake up, oh, thank you,
Jason?
I know, right?
Greatest day ever!
Yeah.
This was worth the burn marks!
But yeah, anyways, yeah, that list of television series, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, Exposé.
Yay.
On Power Rangers!
Yeah.
All right.
You never know. And films, he apparently was Encyclopedia of Martial Arts Hollywood Celebrities as himself.
Oh, nice.
Some documentary. And he was in the Turbo movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's all he's ever done.
Awesome.
Okay.
Shift into Turbo.
Let's shift this into Turbo. He has recently reintroduced himself to the convention scene as a player.
That's
cool.
I like that. Like, he seems to be... Seems to be a cool guy. He's put on a bit of weight, but it's okay.
They all have. Look at the guy who played Andros.
They grew
up.
Oh, yeah.
He got big.
You'll never defeat Andros.
I feel like if I throw a hot pot in your direction, I may. That was mean.
I'm going to keep this Mighty Morphin train rolling because I, being the blue caster, looked up some Blue Rangers, and the first one I decided to pull up was the original, Billy Cranston, played by David Yost. What is he doing now? Currently giving Saban the finger because he was mistreated amazingly during his original stint as the Blue Ranger. So when they asked him back for Super Mega Force, he said, go fuck yourselves. Let's see what else he's done. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He was in a film called Scene of the Crime. Degenerate. Whoever told you it was okay to dream anyway? That sounds like an artsy thing.
In which he played some father at a picnic table.
Yeah.
Because that's how you do.
Oh, apparently in that After Different Strokes movie, apparently he was
a Playboy photographer there.
Attaboy.
And moving on to television, aside from Power Rangers, he was in the Mary Kay Letourneau story.
No. He was
producer, associate producer.
The Real Housewives.
He was a segment producer in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's amazing.
Temptation Island, really?
You are what you eat. Jeez.
Associate producer of a reality show.
Go. That must have been fulfilling.
Isn't David Yost homosexual?
Yes.
Yeah. That's doesn't this make sense?
Yeah.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Why else would he produce something like that? Not knocking anyone's, you know, orientation, but that answers a lot of questions.
Yeah. Moving on from Billy to Sky from SPD, one of my favorite Blue Rangers.
I didn't know he was Canadian.
Yeah, his name is Chris Violet. He is Canadian-born. And let's see what else he has done.
Most notably, it looks like he was in American Pie Beta House. The hell?
He was in Transporter the Series.
I didn't know that was a series.
He was in something called My Babysitter's a Vampire. Desperately Seeking Santa. He was in Flashpoint.
Actually, that's
and
interesting.
So is Kimberly.
Yeah, Kimberly, I was about to say.
Is a main on that show.
Yeah.
If Lane were here, he'd probably be talking about Amy Jo Johnson, who is also a main character in Flashpoint.
Well, he was on Diary of the Dead, you know, Romero's worst.
He was a frat guy in American Pie Presents Beta House.
Yay.
Something. Okay, now we're getting into the sketchy shit. Cheaters Club, G-Spot,
Degrassi.
And some horrid show called Power Rangers SPD.
The fuck's that shit?
Degrassi, the next generation.
Look what it says. Unconfirmed.
He was unconfirmed, uncredited in Degrassi. But
in
someone,
one episode.
Someone's sure he was there. Oh, and here's another one. Show Me Yours.
How about Queer as Folk?
Queer as Folk.
Queer as Folk.
And apparently he has a camera and electrical department credit in something called The Music
Box.
Oh,
he's a grip. Great.
Good, he held a mic.
Nice. Who you got next?
And moving on, because I am Scottish, I decided to go with the Scottish Blue Ranger. I don't even remember the character's name, because it's been that long since I watched RPM, but yes, the Blue RPM Ranger. So he is a New Zealander, because most of that era of Power Rangers was filmed in New Zealand. So let's go ahead and see what else he's been in.
Disney era.
Wow! Okay, so in in RPM, his Zord is a Blue Lion Bus, and the first credit on this list is something called the Bus Driver,
which is currently in post-production.
All right.
And he played a yuppie.
He was in something called Blood Punch. Brodowski and Company. Oh, he returned in Power Rangers Samurai.
To be... Oh, he's voiced a monster, I guess.
He voiced a monster called Vulpes, I don't know.
Vulpes. He's a Vulpix.
He's in something called Go Girls. There's Power Rangers. He was in The Tribe, Revelations, the TV series.
He was a soundtrack... He performed songs for The Tribe.
Oh, yeah, he performed songs for The Tribe, and he was apparently credited for doing some archive footage work.
Do you know what that means?
No.
It means that they showed some images and he happened to be in it.
Okay. I don't know. Not terribly much.
No, but it's it's work, you know? Like, that's
everyone starts somewhere.
Everyone starts somewhere and then ends somewhere.
Yeah.
With Power Rangers, it's usually in a fiery crash. Oh, wow. I didn't mean to sound that dark. I just remembered. Holy shit.
You are lucky.
You brought that up. Oh,
rest in... No, seriously,
Tweet,
no.
Tweet, I miss you.
Rest
I really do.
Rest in peace, Tweet Trang.
Yeah. I liked you in that
Power
movie.
Rangers?
Well, that too. But no, she was in The Crow. She was like the villain in one of The Crow movies. I like that.
Okay.
I forget which one.
Until Jason comes and resuscitates you, of course. And pulls you from said crash.
Maybe that's why he became it.
Oh.
The good saver.
Oh, I can just...
Speaking of
oh.
dark, on to the Black Ranger.
Man, if I wasn't going to hell before.
Yeah.
First and foremost...
The express lane.
First and foremost, because this wasn't fucking obvious at this point, Walter Jones.
Ah.
Who played MMPR? Zach Tyler.
Taylor.
All right. What's he doing these days? Conventions. No, but seriously. Well, he was one of the monsters. He was the general in the Machine Empire, Garruk, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, he was one of the generals. He was the green one, I think.
The one who was the green Beetleborg?
Yeah, that
in,
one, I think so.
Forever Red.
Yeah, so one of the one that used the green Beetleborg suit.
I think that was him.
A
little bit of trivia note for you on him. Did you know he's missing a finger? Like, he always has been?
Yeah.
Like, even in, they try to hide it in the show, but every now and then you get a... Yet a catch. He's missing.
You have to really pay attention.
Yeah,
to
he's missing his. I think it's his middle finger on his left hand.
He was a lead in the show Malibu Shores. He had a very small part in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh shit! Was he a vampire?
That'd be awesome.
I have no idea.
I want to find that clip.
Vampire Black Ranger.
Season 2, the episode Fear Itself. Sorry, season 4, the episode is Fear Itself.
I'm looking that up tomorrow.
He was in the Nickelodeon series Space Cases.
I love that show.
That show was awesome.
I'm torching that show tomorrow.
He was in an episode of Family Matters.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. He was a supporting character for the first season of The Shield.
Like Agents of Shield?
No, The Shield.
Oh, The Shield. That cop thing.
Oh, yeah, Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
He made a cameo in the Fast and the Furious 3, Tokyo Drift.
What? Yeah. I watched that and I didn't see him.
A cameo.
Wow.
He's there somewhere. As much as Time Fire was a samurai. Somewhere. What else is fun? I was just looking at
fun
it.
Fun is fun.
Shush. Right. He has more recently been featured in PetSmart and Bank of America commercials.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this I'm looking up.
I have to. I don't know why. But, I mean, if you didn't know because it wasn't bloody obvious from the show itself, he's also a professional dancer.
I should hope so.
Hip-hop-a-keto.
Hip-hop-keto.
Whatever.
Yes, that thing he
that
did.
Because sensitive to race.
Yes. We're totally not typecasting.
I swear to God, I didn't cast them as that color on purpose.
No, apparently the story is he actually picked the Black Ranger himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, what?
So that's the official statement.
Yeah.
The
truth is much darker.
Going on to my next choice, I'm going to go with Jack Guzman. Guzman, however
Guzman,
you like. Sure.
As in Louise?
As in Louise. No, who is Danny Delgado, the Black Bison Wild Force Ranger.
Cool.
From Wild Force, obviously.
Yeah.
As far as movies, he didn't do a whole lot. Nothing no one's probably ever heard of. Again, the one that it came to the top of my head was Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, wow.
Which I've never heard of, but it sounded interesting enough to bring up.
That sounds like a riff track material.
His TV work seems to be a little more impressive. He has one-off appearances in multiple shows, such as The Suite Life of... sorry.
Please don't say what I think you're going to.
Nope, The Suite Life on Deck.
Oh, that's worse.
That's the second season of that thing.
Oh, right.
Yes, that is Zach and Cody. The On Deck meant they were on a ship.
He was in Heroes.
Christ.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Again, one-off episode
okay.
things.
Okay, cool.
The Unit, Desperate Housewives.
I wonder if he was in the episode Billy.
The Drew Carey Show.
Oh.
He was in a couple episodes of Days of Our Lives, Without a Trace, Line of Fire, Cold Case, and CSI Miami.
Nice.
Oh, shit. Cool.
But yeah, just, he's all over the place in small doses. And, the last one I wanted to bring up, which I'm sure there are multiple people in this panel who are more than welcome to chime in.
Yeah.
I went with Jason David Frank.
You fucker.
Well, no, I hardly know her.
The least known of his many colors.
Well, that's fine. I'm going to talk about it, because it's a thing.
Yeah, Jason David Frank was the Black Dino Thunder Ranger.
He was the Black Dino Thunder Ranger.
But we mostly know him as Tom as the Green Dino Ranger.
And
the Green Dragon Ranger, sorry.
The Red Witch Ranger,
Zeo. And Turbo for a bit.
And the White Tiger Ranger.
And the White Tiger
And the White Ninja Ranger, a.k.a. the KKAK Ranger.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
It was the KKKager.
Oh, God.
KKKager?
He was supposed to be the lead for VR Troopers.
He was, but then that didn't happen.
Racist Sentai. KKKager.
Yep.
Actually, the best thing with Jason David Frank is he was on an episode of Family Matters, you know, Urkel.
Yeah.
And I remember looking up the episode and I found it, and it's just, he doesn't
actually
have any lines.
I saw that.
But do you know what the best part is?
He gets his ass stomped.
No, no. Do you know what his character's name is?
What?
Credit at least? Skull. Jason David Frank played a guy named Skull.
Do you want to know what's the worst part of that joke, Evan?
What?
I feel like if Japan tried to pull it off, it would be brushed off as racial privilege.
Oh, God.
Like, so much... I'd like to direct your attention to Starfish Hitler.
Yeah.
Just kind of, shit that Japan gets away with that the rest of the world just kind of...
And that's why that show will
Hiroshima, though!
And that's why that show will never get dumped.
Make up one little Hiroshima joke. And,
right?
Not like most of them ever do.
But yeah, in that episode of Family Matters, the Jeez and David Frank and a bunch of other thugs get their ass stomped by a oddly buff Urkel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than his wonderful array of Power Rangers,
yeah.
I don't think he stemmed into too much other than his venturing into the world of amateur mixed martial arts.
Which is amazing.
It's kind of amazing. I mean... If we're gonna go into the sports side of things and not worry about the fact that he's Jason David fucking Frank,
just a bit of trivia before you move on to his MMA. You know how he's like tattooed as fuck?
Yeah.
Apparently that was before Dino Thunder, which is why all of his on-camera appearances he's got long sleeve shirts.
I've actually met the man myself. He's a really sweet guy, but yeah, he is like just tattoos everywhere. My personal favorite of his tattoos is I guess this is like a company that makes like sportswear, I guess, for like fighting, but he's got a big tattoo on his, I think it's his right forearm, that says Jesus didn't tap. And the T's a crucifix.
Yeah.
And it's just the greatest thing because I just did not peg him as a Christian weightlifter.
the way I've looked at his martial arts career, if we'll call it that, is that he is in a league not quite so UFC, which people look at his record and go, he's undefeated, this guy's amazing, and I go, have you ever watched any of his fights? Some of the guys he's facing, and I watched him fight this guy, this black guy, who's about a good foot and a half on top, like, on him, maybe an extra 100 pounds stacked onto this guy. He didn't do anything the whole fight.
Oh, yeah?
He just practically circled the ring while Jason just, like, wailed on his face. And I was like...
I have to see that.
I was like, why are you in the kitten-beating division? It's because he's too good for amateur and not good enough for professional, which is fine. He's an actor who happened to keep in shape and pursued his personal interest. That's cool. I just think it's weird that people are so quick to just jump on looking at his numbers and going, he's amazing, I guess.
Well, I never really paid attention to his MMA, but...
No, of course not.
At the very least, I sincerely hope he at some point does the triple tornado kick.
That would be amazing. Oh my god. I guess moving on to me now?
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right. Well, I did just a bunch of Sixth Rangers, just because, you know, I... Because
you're an add-on.
Fuck you.
As Raven and I proceed to rip two of those from under your feet.
Yeah. First one I want to start off with is John Twee. He's a New Zealand actor.
Who's he?
He actually played two Sixth Rangers, actually. He was Anubis Doggy Kruger in SPD. Like, he was
badass.
Yeah. And then he was Daggeron in Mystic Force.
Less badass.
But still cool. He had a magic lamp gun, okay? That was awesome.
Magic.
It was middle as fuck. He also had a small role in Super Samurai. Pestilox.
Okay, so he's a monster of the week.
Yeah. Yep. But what I thought was really cool is that he's apparently a very accomplished Shakespearean actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in Julius Caesar, Hamlet, and Othello. He was Othello in Othello.
Shit.
So that's just awesome. But best of all...
I can just picture that just... with him in the Doggy Kruger suit.
That would be amazing.
I'm just sitting there going, Hamlet or Hamlet 2?
but best role ever. He had the most important role ever as Chief Petty Officer Walter Beast Lynch in the 2012 blockbuster Battleship. But
did someone sink his battleship?
Michael Bay movies.
Oh, you gotta love them.
I forgot that existed.
Good for you. I wish I could. But moving
on. I wish I could quit you.
Wish I could quit you. But moving on. Next up, I got Philip Andrew, who played Merrick in Wild Force, the Lunar Wolf Ranger. He doesn't have much to his name, even now. Most notably, he had the role of Mugger in What I Like About You.
2006. You really know how to mug.
But here's the cool thing. This is what I just wanted to bring up because of him. This is interesting. He had a role of... The character's name was Doug in the movie Dead Scared. But to prepare for the role, he spent an entire night alone in the abandoned mansion that served as the film's location. That sounds like something
that's
you have to do
method
in,
acting.
In a will. Like, in order to get the fortune.
You have to stay in this creepy ass house. That's dedication, though.
I feel like, though, we have to end... Okay, you fucked up and you took my guy, you ass.
Oh, did I now?
Yes, you did. You took away the first Sixth Ranger. So what I did, I think it's appropriate to end on the first and one of the only American Rangers who was all six.
Yep.
That being the Titanium Ranger, Rhett Fisher. He's got... most interesting on his cast list is this movie I want to watch now called Revenge of the Bimbot Zombie Killers. That just sounds amazingly...
I'm sorry, what
camp.
Bot?
Bimbot. So Bimbo. I'm assuming Hussies.
Bimbo robot zombie killers.
It's amazing. Huh. But what he does now actually is he's in a band.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's a musician, and what he does is, I'm sorry, I lost my place here.
His band and Eyeshine should like do a concert together.
It should.
You know who Eyeshine is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, sorry. Band is called Project Dirty. Has 3 top 10 singles on XM radio. Here's actually something interesting. He tried out for the part of Carter originally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been interesting to see.
Cool.
But it's just I came up with this idea to do after, like, where are they now sort of deals, just because I think it's very interesting, like, you know, to see what these guys, like, where are they doing now? Like,
yeah.
Like Amy Jo Hart, you know, the Pink Ranger, she was
Amy
on...
Amy Jo Johnson.
She was on Flashpoint. Johnny Young Bosch is still, of course, going strong.
Yeah.
Others have fallen by the wayside, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
We still love these Rangers in our deepest, darkest hearts.
Yeah.
And we just... It's cool to see.
All right, so hopefully you're a little more educated now. Got, I'm sure some of you have a pile of things to go watch now.
I'm watching BIMBOTS.
We sure as fuck do. So, yeah, thanks for watching, listening, whatever. As usual, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on the Podbean website. Send us some comments. We don't get comments. I want to hear people's thoughts. Apparently we have a pretty big audience, but no one sends us comments.
And as every week, the minute we turn off the mic, we will escape from its hell.
Yeah.
Except from Fedora Gamer.
Yeah. We get plenty of comments from him.
Yeah. So thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next week, or the week after, actually, because we'll be at Con Bravo, like I said.
We hope to see you at Con Bravo.
Which means we
Fedora Gamer.
Yeah.
We'll see you there, only confirmed subscriber.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Fuck you.
Cast off.